Please keep those passages open, particularly we're going to start in 1 Corinthians. So keep that in front of you. Please pray with me as we look at God's Word. Father God, thank you for speaking in your Word. Please open our ears so we might hear. Please soften our hearts so that we might respond appropriately. Father, please change our lives so that we might glorify Jesus more and more as your church. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? See, we say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's that kind of thing we tell us to encourage us to shrug off the things people say to us, the mean things, the hurtful things. But it's never that easy, is it? It's never that easy to just put them aside. Because words are powerful. Words do cause damage. Not always seen in the same way as sticks and stones, but can cause more long-lasting damage and can cause more devastating damage to our lives. Words are powerful. They're actually quite dangerous when they're not used rightly. Now, I'm sure we've all been on the receiving end of words intended to hurt. We know what it's like. And we've all also probably been on the dealing end of words that hurt as well. We know the power of words. We've experienced them. We've used them. Words can be used to manipulate people. Words can be used to harm people. Words can be used for self-interest, to get what I want, to achieve my goals, even at the cost of you. Sometimes it's easy for us to be suspicious of words. We distrust things that people say, have a natural cynicism. Can be our natural mode of listening. Well, friends, as we continue to think about church, we come this week to think about words. Words are at the heart of what we do as church, aren't they? We talk all the time. We're about communicating in words. How do we communicate well? How do we do words well as church? And to treat the power appropriately. And that's what we're going to think about tonight. And as we look at that, we're going to see it in kind of three steps. You'll see on the outline if you've got it there. You'll see the word of power. The word of power we're going to start with. We're going to see the power of preaching when weak. And then the power of people who speak. That's where we're going. The words that point to Jesus. Words are powerful. Reminder from Proverbs. The tongue has the power of life and death. Words are powerful. We're turning to looking in 1 Corinthians, where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's reminding them about how he planted the church. And he's talking about words. And we'll look at chapter 2 in just a moment, but I just want you to turn back to chapter 1, verse 18, where Paul writes this. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We know words are powerful, but Paul here says, here is a word, here is a message that is God's power. It is God's power. What word is it? It's the message of the cross. It's a word that doesn't look that impressive on the outside, does it? It doesn't look that special. It doesn't look that exciting. It doesn't look that powerful. But this is the word that is God's power. Now, how does it work? Well, let me say, it's not kind of like magic power, that you get the words, the sounds right, and somehow, when you say that special phrase, expecto patronum or something, that it actually makes something happen. It's not the way that this is powerful. And let me tell you, it's not powerful in its kind of just rhetorical effect. It's not that it kind of is powerfully able to twist our emotions because of the craftiness of the words, because of the persuasiveness of the argument in human terms. It's not powerful in that way, the way we might regard a politician's words as powerful. No, these are words that are, in one sense, ordinary. They're just ordinary words. Words like and the, and cross, and died. They're just ordinary words. They're not special in themselves, but they are words through which God communicates to people, which God reveals himself, reveals what he's doing. He reveals, exposes ourselves, our sinfulness, our needs. Words that he uses to shape and transform us. Words that he uses to unite people in his church. Now, these are words that are powerful, not because there's something special about them themselves, but because they are what God works through to achieve his ends. And the message of the cross, it's the gospel that is God's power. It's God's power to save people, to bring them from being lost, being outside his kingdom, to in. And it's the same message that God uses powerfully to mature people in his kingdom, to help us grow, to shape and change us to be more like Jesus. Now, this is the foundation for what we're going to look at in the next 2 points, that God works powerfully through the word of the cross, the gospel. That's the message that we speak when we tell people the gospel. And it's the words that we have in Scripture that God has revealed as the gospel. This is God's power to work in the church. And so, what does that mean for the way we think about church, the way we do church? It means we put God's word right at the center, isn't it? We put it as much as we can in what we do. Like, you think about the way that we run our church service. What do? We read from the Bible. We talk about the Bible in a sermon. We pray the Bible, or our response to the Bible. We sing the Bible, or we sing words that capture the message of the cross. We have times where we say creeds that sum up the message of the Bible. And we talk to one another about this message as well. We share it together. That's central to what we do, because this is the way that God uses to work in the church and change people. Now, it's pretty tempting for us sometimes to get a little bit bored, to think that, well, it's not that impressive, this message of the cross, and get distracted with other things that seem more powerful, like having a really sick and slick kind of like technological setup with videos and a sweet soundtrack that kind of draws us in, and we get sidetracked, and we sometimes start thinking, well, if we're doing that a bit better, maybe that would help us change and help us grow. And sometimes we think, well, maybe if we just help people to have a more uplifting experience, to connect emotionally with what's going on, maybe that would see more power at work in people's lives, changing them, growing them, seeing people converted. Maybe if we could work on our welcoming relationships, and if we did that well enough, if people felt like they were really comfortable in relationship with us, then that'd be something that would work in people. Or if we were out more in the community doing stuff that people could see was like just lending a hand to those who needed it, doing some social work that made a difference in the community, like surely that would work powerfully in people, and they would see they'd want to become Christians. It's easy for us to get stuck into that mode of thinking. But friends, that's a danger because it's wrong. Those things, while they may be good and helpful in themselves, those things are not God's power to change people. God's power is the message of the cross. Those things are all to some degree part of what we are at church, part of what we do, but they aren't the core of what we do. They are the things that fit around the edges. They're the things that, well, we do because of what the Word says, because of the way that we're shaped and changed by it. It is always the message of the cross that we keep coming back to, again and again and again. We never move on. We never get kind of like past it. We don't graduate from the message of the cross to something else. It's what we need in every stage of life, in every stage of our Christian walk. We need the message of the cross. That's how God shapes us and changes us. Works in us to make us the people He would have us be. Well, if we're to do this, how? How do we do this well? How do we use this message of the cross without falling into the trap of manipulating people, without falling into the trap of kind of becoming self-seeking, using it for our own benefit? Well, as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see Paul's example. It's a very good one. That to use the word rightly, we need to remember that we are weak. We are not God's power. And in one sense, we need to get out of the way. Have a look with me at those verses in chapter 2. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. If God's power is through the Word, the message of the cross, that's His power. His power is not me, the preacher, and how impressive and skillful I am, isn't it? In fact, at one level, the weaker and less impressive I am as a preacher, the more obvious it is that it's God's word that's at work. More obvious. Now, this isn't kind of advocating laziness in preaching, in speaking God's word. It's advocating the pursuing a type of preaching that isn't about me. It's not drawing attention to me as the preacher, but drawing your attention to God's word. It's about me getting out of the way as much as I can so that you can see what's there. Imagine a window. Now, windows are working properly, what? When you see straight through them, when you don't even know that it's there, you see what's through the other side. See, when you're actually just looking at the glass, looking at your own reflection, that's not windows, what windows are supposed to do. That's been unhelpful. Now, in one sense, preaching is a bit like that, where we want to be able to see what God is saying in the Word. And the better the preacher can do that, the less you'll see them, and the more you'll see God and what He's saying. Have a look at Paul, what he said. In verse 1, I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom. It's not like he hasn't put heaps of emphasis on how he's crafted his sermon to be really neat and impressive. In fact, in verse 2, he says, I've resolved to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. It's not that he's kind of just like forgets everything and he just keeps kind of saying the same line over and over again. It's that he's saying there's no bells and whistles. I'm not getting distracted with things that are at the side. I'm just focusing on this. Just letting you see the message of the cross. Nothing that might distract you. He emphasizes he came in weakness in verse 3. And fear and trembling. Not with wise and persuasive words. He's not winning people over because he can come up with the most impressive argument. It's not about him and how well he can present it. It's about the content. Showing people what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Well, what does that look like for us? What does it mean to be a church that goes about word ministry following Paul's example here? What does it mean for us to come here and sit here on Sundays? Well, the first point is you got to come and you got to do it with your Bibles open. Don't sit and listen to the person out the front and just kind of like nod along and take their word for it. You want to be looking at it and seeing it and hearing it from the Bible. I want to say, don't trust me in that regard. Trust the Bible. And if the person out the front isn't pointing you to what's in there, then that's when the alarm bells should be going off and going, oh, well, that guy's saying something different. I'm sticking with what's in here. Have your Bible open. And on the subject, have your Bible open. Bring your own Bible to church. You can write in, you can scribble in it. You get used to reading it and you know where things are. Don't grab the one from the door. Grab your own one. Such a great resource to have. Your own Bible in church. It says that you prize God's word. You take it seriously, growing, being shaped by it. Second way we think about this and what it looks like in our church, your expectations from a sermon. What are you hoping to get out of a sermon? What are you hoping for the result to be? What are you hoping to say afterwards, having sat through it? See, I don't want you to walk away and say, wow, that sermon was awesome. Toby just knows so much stuff, or he's just able to have these illustrations that are so vivid, or he's able to really connect with me emotionally. I just really appreciate his preaching. I don't want you to say that. I don't want you to expect and look for those things in a sermon. What I want you to be looking for is what I always used to walk away when I heard John Chapman preach. I don't know if you ever heard John Chapman preach. He was an old guy, as always I've been able to remember him. He preached at a lot of different places around Sydney. And every time I can remember hearing him preach, I walked away not thinking, wow, that John Chapman's a great preacher. I walked away thinking, of course that's what the Bible says. Why didn't I see that when I just read it the first time? I'm definitely going to remember that next time I come to read it. You want to walk away remembering the Bible, remembering God. And if a sermon hasn't helped you to do that, then it's been at best a waste of time, and at worst, it's been evil. It's distracting you from what God's saying. So friends, if that happens, and if you're hearing a sermon, feel free to come talk to me afterwards and say, Toby, all I heard in that sermon was you. I didn't hear what God was saying. I didn't understand what the Bible was saying. Come and tell me. I need to know. I need to be working on it if that's what I'm doing. So come with your Bibles open. Expect to hear and to see and understand God's word, not to be impressed by a preacher. The last thing at this point, because it relates to all of us, because this is not just something that happens at the front of church, but this is the reality whenever we have an opportunity to speak the gospel, to share the good news. And I know lots of you will sit there and think, well, when those times come and I just feel really just not equipped enough, I feel like I'm just pretty bad at explaining things. I feel like I'm pretty weak as an evangelist. Friends, if that's you, let me tell you, you are the perfect person to point people to the message of the cross. Because you're not going to get stuck on people looking at you. And we go, well, I find it hard to say, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done. Point him to the Bible where it says it. If you feel inadequate, you should. It's not our power. It's not anything we can do. We've got to rely on God's word, on his power. That's the reality, isn't it? It's not just what happens out the front of the pulpit. It's all of us. And it's all of us when we have opportunities to talk to our friends and family and colleagues and people at school and teachers. And it's all of us as we have the opportunity to encourage and build up each other. Flick over to Colossians. That's what we see there. It's a picture of a church. Or what Paul would love the church to be like. It's a group of people who are building each other up. They care about one another. They're committed to one another. And they speak to one another. What do they speak to one another? Have a look in those verses. 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. See, he wants them to be letting the word dwell among them richly. And it's not just kind of like, let you all have the word dwelling in you individually. Let it dwell amongst you, in your relationships. Be speaking it to one another. As you teach and admonish one another. Admonish is just kind of like correcting when someone's got something wrong. We're looking out for each other. We're committed to building each other up. And we know that we can't do it in our power. If we want to see people grown up in Christ, if we want to see people matured, the power is in the message of the cross. That's the way to do it. So we're going to be speaking to one another. And we do it in church. We do it in some formal ways. We have, especially as an Anglican church, we have a good kind of set way of doing things that includes lots of chances for us all to speak. We do it through creeds. We do it through prayers we all say together. Sometimes we have lines we say formally in like communion. And as Paul says here, we do it as we sing. As we sing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. It's a great way that we teach and admonish one another. As we say, this is the truth. As we sing, I believe these things. As we sing, this is what it means for us to follow Jesus. And we encourage one another in these truths. Now, just a word about songs. If we're serious about this and singing to one another, it shapes what we sing about, doesn't it? It means we want to sing about the message of the cross. We sing about stuff that's at the core of what we believe as Christians. We sing songs that are made up of words from Scripture or ones that are teaching those truths of Scripture. We sing songs that reflect what it means for us to be the people of God. It means that when we think about the band, well, what's the most important thing in the way a band leads music? Is it to have like the slickest presentation? To have the most musically impressive kind of like guitar solos and to be impressed and wowed? No, it's not, is it? It's to help us speak the words that build each other up. The music is helpful as long as it keeps making the word the center, just like the preacher. If the preacher gets in the way, it's a problem. If the music gets in the way of the words, it's a problem. It's distracting. The best music will be the one that kind of is working, but will be so, our attention will be so drawn to what we're singing that we won't notice what's going on. It won't distract us. And notice how Paul's encouraging people to sing, to teach and admonish one another. And when he wants people to sing, thinking about the other people that are there, thinking not just about themselves, and I love singing this song and it makes me feel a joy that I don't feel lots of other times, and sometimes it gives me that little prickly bit up the back of my neck. That's not our attitude in singing. Our attitude is to be thinking about other people and how we're serving them, how we're pointing them to the truths. Some people feel that they aren't that good at singing, and that if they were to sing, they might be out of tune and it might distract people, and so they hold off. Let me tell you, I've never been discouraged by bad singing. In fact, sometimes bad singing is the most encouraging singing of all. Because it reminds me about what's important. It reminds me that it's not about how good the singing is. It's about the words, the truths that we're pointing each other to. Now, it's not discouraging when people sing out of tune. What's discouraging is when people don't sing at all. When they think, well, these things aren't true, or these things aren't important, or we're not important enough for this person to join in singing with. That's discouraging. People just kind of just stand there with a grumpy look on their face. Remember, singing, it's not about you. Church is not about you. It's not about me. Church is about Jesus. How we can point each other to Him. That's ultimately what the words are for, isn't it? The message of the cross, its weakness on its own, but it points us to Him. The Bible, it's not that impressive, just looking at the words. There's a book, it's just like any other book, it looks the same. But it's because what it communicates to us. It points us to Jesus. That's where the word of power is. As we understand Jesus. Friends, the tongue has the power of life and death. That's your tongue. Do you want to use it for death? Do you want to use it for life? If you want to use it for life, use it to share with people the message that is God's power. Speak the message of the cross. Speak it. Sing it, share it, discuss it. Talk about it with one another. We do it in the formal time, and sometimes it's kind of like it's easy to switch off when the kind of the service ends and we go, and now it's supper time, and it's kind of go, oh, we're done talking about Jesus. Now it's time to talk about footy, or school, or children, or whatever it is. Now, friends, let me encourage you: keep talking about Jesus then, when you have the freedom of everything to think about and talk about. That's when it's hard, because sometimes it's hard, we don't know what to say. I've prepared something to help you. What I'm going to do is, I've got a slide to put up during supper. It's got a question on it. What has encouraged you in God's word this past week? Ask it of each other. And I'm going to put it up at supper tonight. And I'm going to put it up at supper next week. And I'm going to put it up all through August. And we're going to keep asking each other this same question. So if you feel a bit awkward tonight, think, oh, I haven't made a good effort to read God's word this week, I haven't been encouraged by anything, No, it's coming next week. We want to take it seriously, brothers and sisters. We want to take our relationships with each other seriously. We want to keep pointing people to Jesus through our words. We want to make our church all about Him. We want to make our lives all about Him, so that He is glorified, so that people don't get distracted by us, and we don't get distracted thinking that getting deluded and thinking our weakness is somehow impressive. Keep pointing people to Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you that you speak powerfully in your word. Thank you that you reveal to us the message of the cross. Thank you that you show us the reality that we are sinners, that we need saving from sin, saving from sin's consequence, the punishment, facing your anger. Thanks that Jesus has done that. That He's died in our place. He has borne your anger. Father, please help us to trust in your word of power. Help us to recognize that we are weak and to keep putting your word on our lips. Father, please give us opportunities. Help us to be faithful and courageous when they come. Help us to prioritize loving each other and speaking the truth of the gospel to one another, bringing it to bear on the different stages of our lives, that we may be shaped by it, that we may be changed by it, that we may be more and more people who point to Jesus. Father, please help us to get out of the way of your powerful message, not to get distracted and think that we're impressive when we're really not. Father, please work through us to grow your church. Please work through us to bring glory to the name of Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.